אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Shalom Australian, Hag Sameach to you, Nitz, and to all your listeners this morning. We begin with our cover story this week, a tale of two cities, Yom Kippur in Sydney, Yom Kippur in Melbourne. There were very, very different scenes in both cities over Yom Kippur on Thursday. In Sydney, a last-minute exemption was granted by the Department of Health. New South Wales Health allowed last-minute outdoor services to occur in Sydney, and there were small gatherings at specified locations, COVID safe gatherings with rabbis and members of the community allowed to listen to prayers outdoors on Thursday after a last minute exemption was granted. There were talks between the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies and Minister for Health Brad Hazzard, and the Board of Deputies thanked the state government for allowing the community to mark this solemn day during these extremely challenging circumstances. In Melbourne, there was a last-ditch plea from dozens of Orthodox rabbis, including the Chief Rabbi of Israel and the Chief Rabbi of Russia. They wrote personally to Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Premier, asking him to allow Victorian Jews to attend services over Yom Kippur. However, that request was denied. 35 rabbis wrote a letter to the Premier in support of proposals for COVID-safe minions, which were put forward by the Rabbinical Council of Victoria. The rabbis in Melbourne said that these services would be masked, they'd be socially distanced, they'll be outside if they need to be, and they'll comply with whichever safety directions the health department deems necessary. However, there was a decision by the Victorian Department of Health not to allow these services to go ahead. They said in a statement, "We know how tough lockdowns are on all Victorians, but we have to play our role in keeping case numbers low and protecting our health system for everyone who needs it in the coming months." There's a big story on the front cover of the Jewish News, as I said, 35 rabbis pleading with Daniel Andrews, and even the Chief Rabbi of Russia and the Chief Rabbi of Israel wrote personal letters to our state government in Melbourne requesting that these services go ahead, and that was denied. This all followed dramatic scenes in Ripponlea on Rosh Hashanah. As your listeners will well be aware, there were up to 30 people attending an illegal gathering in Ripponlea on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Videos started surfacing of people on top of rooftops in Ripponlea. There was a very heavy police presence there, and that police presence actually carried across over Yom Kippur. On the eve of Yom Kippur, there were police horses along Glen Ira Road, a very strong police presence, and they actually wrote a letter to the editor, the Victoria Police wrote to the Jewish News this week, and they said that the increased police presence was required. Victoria Police said their number one priority is to keep the community safe, and we make no apologies for taking the necessary action that they needed to do. The Jewish News, we were flooded with complaints from members of the community saying that this police presence was heavy-handed. And I'll read you some of what the Victoria Police told the Jewish News. They said, sadly, after the incident on Rosh Hashanah, they said they received reports from concerned community members around potential breaches of restrictions currently in place. As a result, an increased police presence was required across the Glen Ira and the Port Phillip areas to ensure that the community was safe. You can read the Victoria Police statement to the Jewish News on our website, and more about that last minute appeal to the Premier, which was denied in this week's edition of the Jewish News. It really was a tale of two cities, with the Jewish community marking the Yom Kippur services outdoors in Sydney and a different story in Melbourne.
We're talking to Evan Zlatke, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Jewish Update with Nitza Lowenstein. Well, it was indeed a very different Yom Kippur for all Australian Jews. I personally, in Sydney, I was fortunate to attend a Zoom service just before the start of Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur, of our synagogue, the North Shore Synagogue in Linfield, Sydney. They conducted a beautiful Kol Nidre service before the start of the festival, the start of Yom Kippur. And I must say that Chabad North Shore also recorded a beautiful service. They pre-recorded it, and I watched it in the morning before Yom Kippur, the full service. Evan, just moving on, Malka Leifa was in court in Melbourne, not in Jerusalem, this week.
Yes, this is a very significant development. Nitsa Malka live as she appeared in Melbourne Magistrates Court via video link on Monday for a week-long committal hearing. This hearing is to determine whether there is enough evidence to send the former DAS principal to trial. She's charged with 74 counts of child sexual abuse dating back to 2004 to 2008 when she was the principal of the Adas Israel School in Elsternwick. And as I said, this hearing, which went all along last week and will continue into the coming week, is to determine whether Malka Leifer will stand trial on these 74 charges. She maintains her innocence at all times, and as I said, she appeared via video link in Melbourne Magistrates Court. Her accusers, sisters Darcy Ehrlich, Nicole Meyer and Ellie Sapper, they gave evidence against Malka Leifer this week in closed court, meaning that the general public and the media didn't have access to their evidence. A number of other witnesses were also being called in open court. There's not a lot we can say at this stage, Nita, as it is before the courts, but this hearing will decide whether she will stand trial, and we await that decision. She fled Australia. She left Australia in 2008 when allegations against her first surfaced. Victoria Police put an extradition request in 2014 to request that Malka Leifer be returned from Israel to Australia. That request was 7 years ago, and 7 years later, Malka Leifer appearing in Melbourne Magistrates Court for that committal hearing. We await the decision once the witnesses have given their evidence and a decision is handed down.
Evan, a Koch Club has now raised $60 million. This is quite incredible. And the target is $65 million. So $5 million, I mean, it's a lot of money for a lot of people. But in the scheme of things, it's really fantastic. And they have to thank also the federal government for a very generous grant.
Yeah, that's right. It's the home stretch, Nita. It's been a long time since the Hakoa Club on Hall Street in Bondi Beach. It was sold quite a long time ago, and they're finally making last progress on this new White City site in Paddington. They've raised $60 million out of their $65 million target, and they've received a New South Wales government grant of $7.5 million. This is on top of a federal grant of $7.5 million, which was given to Hakoa earlier this year. We have the Sports Minister of New South Wales, Natalie Ward, saying that the redevelopment of White City in Paddington will provide modern, accessible sports facilities for everyone in the community, allowing more people to enjoy the benefits of sport and of active recreation. Gabrielle Upton, Vaucluse MP, she said Hakoa has a proud and strong history of community leadership in sport and recreation, and says that this state government funding will support the club in that important role. Now, memberships have opened. If you want to become a Hakoa member, you can go to their website. I'll read it to you, hakoa.com.au. And they're really inching closer to this goal of raising that $65 million, and so the construction can commence and we can have a club once again.
That's fantastic. We're all looking forward to it. Before we go, Evan, there is an Israeli-Aussie merger to get COVID test results in seconds. I think this is incredible.
Yes, Nita, this is very interesting. A new venture between an Israeli and an Australian company will see the introduction of a low-cost test that can detect the COVID-19 virus within seconds. The Sydney-based Incentive Health is entering into a merger with Israeli-based Virus Site Diagnostic, a world leader in artificial intelligence software, using technology that's supported by the Sheba Medical Center in Israel. Its product is a new low-cost point-of-care testing solution powered by artificial intelligence that is able to detect COVID-19 within seconds using either a non-invasive mouthwash or nasal swabs. It can integrate with track-and-trace systems, and the company says it costs a fraction of what PCR and other rapid antigen tests currently cost. So this could be a game-changer, Nita, if it's brought into Australia. We'll wait and see if that happens. But as I said, a non-invasive mouthwash to identify whether COVID exists in your body, it would be a game changer if that was to come to light and to be made available here on our shores.
It is indeed. Evan Zlatki, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and Chag Sameach.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.